Well, good morning, Simpsonville. Oh, you can do a little better than that. Good morning, Simpsonville. Well, I'm French Harmon. I'm the president of the Kentucky Baptist Foundation. I'm a Kentuckian. Does anyone know where Ashland is? Northeastern, that's where I'm from. And I've been blessed to be a Kentuckian through the years. And my wife, Rachel, and I have been married for 25 years, we're blessed with 3 children, Trey, Madison, and Jack. It's kind of funny, I thought actually when I was 17 going to Paul Blazer High School, I was an athlete, and I actually thought I was saved at an early age, 7 years old. How many were saved under the age of 12? Raise your hand. It's a lot of us. So, anyway, I was a Christian boy raised in the church, and God blessed us through the years. So at 17, I actually thought I'd found the person I wanted to spend my life with, you know, a teenage crush. And so I did what every good Baptist teenager should do, go and pray about it. And I said, God, let this work out. You know, I have this crush on this cheerleader. I was a basketball player, baseball player. And so I got the courage up and asked this young lady out, and she said, absolutely not. And I hadn't thought about that story for a while. And then I wasn't married till I was around 30, but it was around late 20s, I went home and my mother said, you'll never guess who I ran into. And she mentioned the person that I had the crush on when I was a teenager. I said, well, what's she doing? I thought maybe she's still single, who knows? Said, no, she's married and she has 7 children. I said, Lord, thank you for unanswered prayer. Right. But actually, we love our 3 kids, and I know some are blessed with multiple children, but wow, what a time. I went to Southern Seminary, I graduated, I got a few degrees, and started pastoring actually right out of seminary when I was about 26, and went to Prestonsburg, Kentucky. And started pastoring there. And if you're going to be a mountain pastor, you have to really get engaged in the community. And so we had a Walmart in Prestonsburg, among other things. So I went to the Walmart, and I was really getting involved in various things in the community. And I'd picked up a few items and got to the counter. That's before they had the scanning machines. You actually talked to someone going through the line. And so I went through the line and rang up my bill, and it was $21.57. And I looked in my wallet, I had a $20 bill. I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'm just a poor Baptist preacher. I only have $20. And she said, I know. I heard you last Sunday. And that's what you're going to get today, right? So, Brother Steve, I might need some water if someone could get that. But Brother Steve said I had about an hour, so that's perfect. No, I'll just do my normal thing. We'll be praying for Brother Steve as he recovers, and many others in the community that are facing these uncertain times. And we, as the Kentucky Baptist Foundation, want to thank you for your giving to the cooperative program. You know, every time you give monies, we know that part of that's going We know that part of that is going to fund ministries across the world. And I was so pleased to see that, you know, monies to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering exceeded its goal. And so those missionaries, those 3,700 missionaries, are preaching the gospel across the world. And to that, we praise God. The foundation that we're a part of has been blessed over these years. We're really engaged in three things: impactful investing. We try to take and invest our monies that can build and fund the Great Commission. And God has certainly blessed our ministry this past year. And we have board members here. Lowell Ashby is a member. Kim Fulkerson is on staff, as was mentioned. And so the ministry of the foundation, we talk about impactful investing, a legacy We want to think about, we want help for people to think about how their legacy with the church and with the kingdom can be enhanced. And we have a lot of ways we do that. And then, of course, stewardship services. We help churches like Simpsonville help reach their goals. And we do that in a variety of ways. And so it's an honor to be here representing the foundation, being part of the Kentucky Baptist Convention. Thank you. I've been a Kentucky Baptist really all my life and pastored three churches, been on staff with the Kentucky Baptist Convention, now president of the Kentucky Baptist Foundation. And there's a lot happening. In addition to COVID, we know about the terrible tornadoes that have ravaged the western part of our state. Thank you for responding. Some of you have gone. Some of you have given. And it's going to be a long-term effort to help these churches rebuild. But I was so encouraged hearing the reports. And these reports are coming back that people are open to the gospel. And if you saw the pictures right after the devastation, the First Baptist Church of Mayfield, where it was kind of like ground zero, the whole downtown area was just ravaged, destroyed. But there was one cross still standing. And people said when they looked at the cross, they received hope. Because, my friends, there is hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 12. Jesus had been ministering, and the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes had all come at him in various ways. But each time he tried to draw the attention to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is to know Jesus, to live for him, and to serve him. And he was trying to teach that while he was on earth those 3 years. And this morning, at the end of that chapter, we want to read scripture. And in honor of Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you all to stand with me as we read scripture. I'm going to do it a little differently. I'm actually going to ask you to read whatever version you have out loud. Some of you have the NIV, some of you will have the King James, some of you will have, you know, whatever. Read it out loud. God will hear it. It honors the Lord. Beginning with verse 41, let's read scripture together. Begin. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in with their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. May his name ever be praised. You may be seated. So there it is. The picture. Jesus watching people cast their money into the treasury of the temple. The rich came. And they gave. The poor came. They gave. And there was one widow. And this particular woman said she had 2 mites. What's a mite? Mite. 2 of them would equal the smallest denomination of coin there is. So, example. 2 farthing, or 2 mites, I should say, would equal a penny in our terms.
So she was poor. And this woman cast in all she had. The commentator said all that she probably made that day. No doubt she had more than just a penny, but all that she had that day, she cast into the treasury. And Jesus commended her. And this particular illustration is all throughout Scripture. Over and over, it's recounted in the Gospels. So today I want to apply that to us. I'm not going to take an offering, anything like that today, so don't worry about it. What I want to tell you is three things that each one of us can really take and apply to our lives. When you leave this sanctuary today, I hope you'll be able to say, yeah, I think I got it. Number one, Jesus is watching what we do. Can you say that with me? Jesus is watching what we do. Some of you are mistaken in thinking that Jesus is kind of asleep at the wheel. The Father is a grandfather that's not paying a lot of attention. But let me remind you, Jesus is watching what we do. How many remember that story we learned in Sunday school? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, eyes, ears, whatever it is. How many remember that song? How many of you believe that song? Jesus is watching. That's a reminder to me. He was watching the rich give their money. He was watching the poor give their money. He was watching this widow, and he made an illustration of it. All of us have three things. Time. Talent. Treasure. Jesus is watching how you use it and how I use it. Twenty-four hours in a day, 14,400 minutes, 86,400 seconds. What are you doing with your time? Dr. George Sweeting, one of my mentor types that I looked up to so much, I had a couple of conversations with. He was president of the Moody Bible Institute, and he said, there's three things you need to do every day. Before you talk to anyone, talk to God. Before you read anything, read Scripture. Before you hear anything, listen to the voice of God. I told you I was pastor in Prestonsburg, and I had an elderly lady. And I don't know how to describe an elderly. I don't know what year you become elderly, but she described herself as an elderly lady, and so I said, okay, you're an elderly lady. She invited me over to her home, and I knew I was pretty close to her. I'd been her pastor for 3 or 4 years, and she brought me into this area of her house, and she said, I just want you to know that every morning, before I do anything, I pray. I said, that's awesome. We called her Granny. That's awesome, Granny. And then she said, look at that wall. And her son was on the wall, her only son. Her two granddaughters. And me. She says, I pray for you every morning because you're part of my family, my spiritual family. Do you have a prayer list? Before you talk to anyone, do you talk to God? Before you read any, before you get on that phone, before you know something could have happened in the 5 or 6 hours you were asleep, perhaps you should read Scripture. Do you have a reading plan this new year? I challenged my church once to read the Bible through in a year, and about mid-January the following year, I got a knock on my office door, and this lady came in and laid her one-year Bible on my desk, and she says, I did it. I did it for the first time. I read the Bible through. Now give this to somebody else so they can do it. I said, well, you're supposed to keep reading it. What are you doing with your time? Your talents. You say, I don't have any talents. Oh, yes, you do. You have talents. If I want to know something about computers, I ask my sons and daughter. I mean, they know more about it than I do. You have talents. Some of you used to be Sunday school teachers. What happened? Some of you used to serve in various ministries. What happened? You say, well, let other people do it. It's my time to rest. No. We go. We keep going. When I, you may not realize this, but 25 years ago I had cancer. And so I was diagnosed in a very unique way. I was going to make a hospital visit as a pastor, and a gasoline truck rammed into the back of my vehicle. It didn't explode, but the EMS people said, you probably should go and get a CAT scan or an x-ray at least. So I did. I got an x-ray, got a CAT scan. Next thing you know, the doctor says, you need to go see an oncologist tomorrow. Long story short, I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, about a grapefruit-sized mass in my chest. And they started chemotherapy and radiation almost immediately. And people started praying, started immediately. It's amazing what medical technology and the hand of God, and of course, most of all, the hand of God does. I'm not going to get into all this mask mandate and all this type of thing, but trust me, I'm kind of like to listen to like people that know a lot of stuff about medicine. As a cancer survivor, I trust God. I trust the hand of these physicians. And I started my chemotherapy treatment. My first treatment, I went to the facility. And in the back corner was one of my deacons. I said, Brett, what are you doing here? And he was an airplane pilot. He flew out of Cincinnati to Switzerland every other week. I mean, he had a big responsibility. He says, I'm praying for you. He says, every treatment you have, Lord willing, I'm going to be in the back. I don't need you to come and talk to me. I just want you to know you've got somebody on your side. You've got somebody praying for you. Here's what I've learned. God doesn't really care about your abilities. He cares about your availability. Are you available to God? You say, I can't do that anymore. Well, try. God's watching. Jesus is watching. Jesus was watching these rich people throw in their monies, and he watched this poor widow, and she threw in her 2 mites, which may have been a penny. He's watching us, how we're using our time, our talents, our treasure. Which leads me to my second big theme today. Not only does Jesus watch what we do, he cares about what we do with our money. I know I'm not supposed to talk about money, but if I don't, who will? Most preachers are afraid to say anything about money because they're afraid you're going to leave and be turned off. I'm not. I pastored for 30 years almost. You don't talk about money. You really are keeping people from hearing a great discipleship piece. I'll tell this true story. Not that all preacher stories aren't true, but this is a true story. I didn't realize this until I went there, but Houston is the fourth largest city in America. Did you know that? It's a big city. Lots of traffic. And so there was a policeman that told this story. Said they had covered a scene and a person unfortunately lost his life. And in losing their life, they were cleaning up the scene and they saw this person's checkbook. This person's checkbook, and he just glanced at it. Not that police officers do that very often. He just glanced at it. Maybe it was open. He just kept reading. And he kept seeing, like, every third or fourth entry, FBC. 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 He talked to the family afterwards, and somehow he discovered this FBC was First Baptist Church. He'd been going through such a time in his own life. He says, well, if this guy gave so much money to this FBC, I'm going to go there. Maybe I can find some help. He went there. He started hearing the preaching of the gospel. And within months, maybe weeks, this police officer gave his heart to Christ. All because someone had demonstrated through their check registry how important their commitment to Christ was. Now, you may not think that giving to the church, giving to the Lord is that important, but Jesus does. Jesus actually talks about the amount. Look at verse 42 and 43. Jesus honed in to the amount. The rich people gave out of their abundance, but this poor widow gave all that she had. The amount matters. Start with your 10%. You say, I can't give 10% right now. Well, start where you are. I had a pastor friend. I had preached a revival for him. He was getting ready to retire. He was in his mid-70s. He said, you know, the Lord got a hold of my heart when I was in my 40s. My wife and I made a decision that each year, we were going to try to give 1% more than we did the previous year. And he stood up to the congregation. He says, and today, I'm here to tell you, I give 47% of everything that comes into my hands back to the Lord, and I've never been more blessed in my life. Wow. Maybe most of us can't start at 47. But if you're at 4%, start there and just do it. You see, Jesus cares about the amount we give and the motivation with which we give. Are you motivated so other people can see your name on a building or something? Probably not the best motivation. But if you're motivated, to give to extend the kingdom of God, that's the most important thing. And he cares about your service to him. True story, another true story. I had a very wealthy member of my church in Somerset. Pastored there 13 years. I've got to tell you a story before I tell you the other story. You know, when you're the pastor of a First Baptist Church county seat in Kentucky, you have people from all walks of life. I had a sitting congressman. I had the leading Republicans and Democrats and judges and, you know, you name it, I have it in there. And so people would call me and say, you know, I want you to preach my funeral. I'd never met them, but they watched us on TV. And it was like, okay, yeah, happy to serve. This one lady called and said, Brother Harmon, I've never met you, but I have a request. I said, okay, what's the request? And she said, my cat has died, and I need some preacher to preach her funeral, and you came to mind. Would you be able to do it? I had some things going on that afternoon. She wanted it done the afternoon. I said, no, I'm not going to be able to do it, but the Presbyterian preacher behind the church would probably be able to do it. She called the Presbyterian preacher. He wasn't available. He gave the Episcopal priest and Catholic. None of them were available. She finally called back and said, Brother Harmon, I really think no one else is available, and I really wanted you to do it. I already wrote the check out for $1,000 to the minister. I said, why do you need to tell me as a Baptist cat? I'll be right over. Right? You know that's a story. But a wealthy person came to me and said, can you name one person that I gave, if I gave them $20,000, that would help change the world? Now think of that. Do you know one person that truly will change the world? Not many of us think that big. Not many of us have the goal to help change the world. But God wants you to help change the world. Jesus is watching what we do. Jesus cares what we give. And in the end, Jesus wants to change our hearts. Because he was teaching these scribes and these Pharisees and these Sadducees, if you read the preceding 38 verses or 40 verses, you'll see how the scribes tried to trip him up and the Sadducees tried to trip him up and the Pharisees tried to trip him up. Are we supposed to obey God or Pharaoh? Those are the type of questions they were asking Jesus. And Jesus was always able to give out the response. And then he hit to the real matter. And so this is how I want to end this sermon. How's your heart? If your heart is pure towards the Lord's work, talking about money is natural. It's not a big deal. We realize, just as preachers have said through the years, that we just hold this for a little while. It's not ours. None of this is ours. We're just to be good stewards. I've preached hundreds of funerals. Nobody gets to take it with them. So I'm going to ask you three rather intense questions. Perhaps you haven't done a really good job of tithing. That's okay. Would you consider tithing your estate? That would be the largest gift that most of us will ever give. Tithe your estate. Why would you not tithe your estate? Let me ask you that question. Why would you not give at least 10% of everything you've accumulated at the end of your life to the Lord's work? You've tithed your whole life. Your kids know this. They're not going to be upset that you tithe your estate. Oh, they may be upset that they don't get this. They're not. In fact, I think they expect it. But most of you have never thought of it. Call me sometime and I can help you get started. It's very simple. Just make sure your lawyer has it in your documents. Maybe you don't have documents. Call us and we can help get you to an attorney and get you all set up. Secondly, do you really think this church is going to stand forever without money? And Lowell Ashby and I are friends. Lowell is better at saying this than even I am. He's been in charge of money in the Kentucky Baptist Convention. We're fortunate the convention trusts us and they invest a lot of money with us. But even since I've been pastoring and ministering for 30 plus years, churches that used to be amazing 30 years ago, some of them may have 15 people in the building. They might have 30. In my hometown, there was a church that in the early 1940s ran over 1,500 people. Pollard Baptist Church. 3 years ago, they closed the door. I will say this. If a church doesn't preach the gospel, the door should be closed. But most of the time, it's not that. It's people like us that haven't done anything to help the legacy of the church go forward. Simpsonville Baptist Church needs you. The Lord's work needs you. Final story. This one preacher came out. They were in the middle of a building campaign. Are you on a building campaign? I think you are. He says, oh, I've got great news for you. I've got great news for you. Actually, he said, I've got good news and bad news. The good news, we have all the money we ever need to finish the project. The bad news is it's still in your pocket. Simpsonville's been blessed. Think about the Lord's work as you think about your life. I don't mind telling you this, at the previous churches that I've pastored, since I've been the president of the foundation, I've started endowments for each one of these churches. Here's why. Because I want the churches to be strong until Jesus returns. If that's what you want, let's talk. Let's make sure Simpsonville has monies that it will never die unless the Lord would want it to. And I don't think he wants to. He's in the business of closing down churches. So friends, thank you for the privilege of speaking today. But the most important thing I would say in conclusion . What about you and Jesus? When I preach, I expect people to get saved. I talked about money today a little bit. Perhaps that's you needed to hear this message as a Christian, but maybe you're not a Christian. And you're here for the first time, or maybe for the 100th time, but deep in your heart, you know you're not born again. The Lord's never come into your heart. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father. No one enters heaven without knowing Jesus Christ in the full remission of sin. Have you received Jesus? I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to come, the singers to come. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, each of you. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, if you're not a Christian, would you consider giving your life to the Lord? You've thought about it. Maybe today is that day you need to receive him. Right where you're sitting, would you pray this prayer? You can pray it out loud or silently. Maybe you're a young person. You just haven't given your heart to Christ. Maybe you're a teenager. And you know. You've been listening to Brother Steve for months and years, and you know you need to be a Christian. But why don't you pray this prayer right now and ask Jesus into your heart? Go ahead and pray it. Dear Jesus, right now, I confess my sins. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Be my Savior and Lord. And I promise to live for you and be baptized and be part of your church. I love you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, in just a moment, I want you to meet me here. And secondly, to Christians. Yeah, we've talked about money. It's okay. It makes all of us a little uncomfortable. But maybe something I said about tithing or about tithing your estate or about planning a gift to help this church or the Lord's work in some way has spoken to your heart. And you may even want to talk to me or your pastor at some point. I won't come back and embarrass you. I won't call you up in any way. I just want to know that the Lord spoke to you today. And I want to add you to this prayer. If the Lord has spoken to you about money and about giving and about helping out, would you quietly raise your hand and put it right back down and say, the Lord spoke to me today. Thank you. Others, just raise your hand, put it right back down. The Lord spoke to me. I know I need to think about this. I know I need. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I just pray for every person that raised their hand or didn't raise their hand. Help them to ask you. We know you're watching. We know you care. But you want our hearts to be closer to you. So Lord, be with us in this invitation. Speak to us. Bring those into the kingdom that ought to be here. And if there's one here that needs to unite with this church, join this church. Show the support to this church. Help them to come forward today as well. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, and I'll be in the front to receive you for any of these issues that the Lord's spoken to you about.